This is part one of a previously recorded two-part Live and Local interview. It's time for another edition of Live and Local from the studios at 33rd and Burt. I'm your local host, Mike Hogan. Thank you so much for joining me today. Well, as Maestro Thomas Wilkins winds down his career as music director at the Omaha Symphony, he has a cellist coming in who has been an Omaha favorite. Joshua Roman joins me on Live and Local to talk about his return coming up this weekend. Joshua, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thank you so much, Mike. I'm excited to be here.
You've been to Omaha before, and of course you've worked with the Maestro before. How excited are you to make your return this weekend?
I'm really excited. It's been a year of not very much live music, so there's that added layer, which is huge and can't be discounted, underneath all of the excitement of the orchestra's anniversary and Maestro Wilkins's final season as music director. I'm very excited to come back for all of those reasons and more.
What have you done as far as the preparation goes for this particular performance that you're going to have?
So this piece, the Saint-Saëns Cello Concerto, is one that many cellists learn at a very young age. In fact, it's often the first concerto that you would learn. And that doesn't make it necessarily any easier, but it's very familiar. And because of that, I'm very comfortable with the piece. But because it's been a year without very many performances, I had spent a long time working on it with a pianist over the last week or so. And of course, I was practicing before then. But working with a pianist to really get into the zone of collaboration and of sharing ideas, rather than just having an orchestra in my head that did whatever I wanted, all of the time, which is not necessarily great. So I worked with a wonderful pianist in here, Carlos, in New York, Carlos Avila, whom I often work with as a preparation for a concerto. And that just brought it to another level. And looking back at those recordings, studying the score and reminding myself, reading up on Saint-Saëns' life and what was going on with him and the piece, it's almost a luxury to have as much time for one piece as I've had in preparation for this concert. So I'm very excited to bring all of that to bear in the performances this weekend.
So am I to understand that you record those rehearsals that you've been doing with this pianist as well, so that you can listen to them and continue working?
That's right. I do that for both the reason of wanting to see how it sounded and reflecting on the choices that I've made stylistically at any given moment, but also just to add a little bit of pressure and try to get a little nervous to simulate what it's like to play for people, which, again, I haven't done very much of this year. So I'm extremely excited and just aware of that extra energy. And setting a device up to record something always injects, even though it's quite different, always injects a little bit of energy that's not there when you're just playing for yourself.
You've brought up a very interesting point. You're very familiar with this piece because generally in the, quote, curriculum of the cello, this is a piece people are introduced to at a young age. Now that you've really established yourself as a preeminent, nationally renowned cellist, how does the conductor and, as you said, the orchestra that's not in your head doing everything that you're conducting it to do, when you meet the conductor and Maestro Wilkins is going to bring to the dance here, and when you're sitting with the rest of the orchestra, how does that impact what you've brought in your preparation?
That's a great question, Mike. And it is so different from what you might experience playing, for example, in a string quartet, where you would rehearse a program maybe even for months together with the same people before performing it. Or the duos that I do with pianists, where similarly we'll work out every detail together over a long period of time before the very first performance, of which we may do many. With an orchestra, you show up and everything is very tightly organized. And so you don't have necessarily the luxury of time on stage to figure those things out. And you do your best to come both prepared with a strong conviction about the way that you've been approaching the piece and an ability to communicate that quickly, but also an openness to the other perspectives there. And that's the beautiful thing about an orchestra, is that you do have the conductor who has been studying the piece on their own and may have done it many times as well, and they've got their perspective. And then you've got an orchestra that likely has played this piece, whether the players have played it separately or the orchestra itself with all of those same players has played it multiple times, there's a memory and there's a sort of instinct that's been built up through experience. So my job is to go in with a lot of conviction about what I'm bringing to the table, but also a lot of openness and an ability to listen and collaborate. And it does change how I play. And the goal, of course, is that we'll meet somewhere that is better than any of us could have gotten on our own. And especially with a piece like this, where the orchestra's relationship with the cello is so carefully crafted, I think that there's a lot of room for exploring without even stopping and talking, exploring that relationship and how that works. And over the course of 2 days of preparation, which is not a whole lot, I think we'll get pretty far because everyone is prepared.
Join me tomorrow at 7:45 a.m. and 3:44 p.m. for the conclusion of this live and local interview.